The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. So glad you're with us here on this Tuesday morning. We got Shay, we got JR, and we got you. 312-332-3776 is our phone number still to come. We'll hear from Albert Breer as we go around the NFL with Albert from Monday Morning Quarterback. But now it's time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the same-game parlays, the live in-game same-game parlays, which a lot of places don't have. In addition, you can bet horses with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
Good morning,
Thank
to
you,
Shay
Norling.
Good morning, Shay Norling and Secretariat.
Good morning, boys. How are we on a Tuesday?
Still one of my biggest regrets.
What?
That I did not have the temerity, because I'm what is the word? Why am I missing on the word?
What?
I don't have CTE.
Okay, then you're boring.
What's the word?
Maybe a little dementia.
Spontaneous that I didn't get in the car and drive down to Claiborne Farms and have a picture with Secretary before.
Or you could have planned it too, Cap, either way.
I didn't plan it either. Bummed.
You were busy.
Imagine if I had a picture of my arm around Secretary.
Okay.
That would have been amazing.
But you know what, though? I mean, but it's okay.
Who would
though.
That have been amazing for? Just you?
Yeah, that's the point, Shay. I'm not worried about you, about me that's having right. the picture. And then I would have had lunch in the stall.
Right.
Excuse me. Can I have my lunch with Secretary? Of course.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong, Shay, with having a picture of the love of your life. Got to have those memories.
Yes.
Carry it around in his wallet.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
If you have lunch with Secretariat, do yes. they give you the corn feed, too?
Whatever. I would have just sat down right there on the hay.
Time for I don't know shot here, Shay Norling.
All right, boys. It is Packers week.
Together.
All right. I don't want to hear you sleeping with a horse. We're talking sports, not bestiality. Go ahead, Shay. What else do you have?
Wow.
All right. It is Packers week.
Wait a minute. What happened there? What happened there?
What?
What were you and JR talking about? What's that?
Nothing. I was asking JR a question about some audio. No worries. We'll move on.
Okay.
I want to ask
all
about...
All I know is that bestiality, and then it was...
All right.
What's that? Is that the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day?
All right. Maybe. We'll find out, I guess. Jeez. All right. I want to ask about Packers week. Roquan Smith spoke on his excitement to face Aaron Rodgers and the difficulty ahead for the Bears. He said he's always excited to face a great competitor like Rodgers, but the Bears are expecting Aaron to be pissed off. My question, shot or no shot, a pissed off Aaron Rodgers is the worst case scenario for the Bears.
Well, that's a shot. Motivated Aaron Rodgers, motivated enough. Because he really wants that second ring. He wants to prove everybody wrong. And him with a chip on his shoulder, yeah, I don't think that's a good thing for the Bears or anybody.
Aaron Rodgers being ticked off is fine if as long as his receivers don't drop passes when he hits them right in the freaking hands. Because he can be as pissed off as he wants. He can call guys out. He can be frustrated with his receivers if they don't make plays. If the Bears pressure him, Aaron got hit a lot by the Vikings. A lot. What did he get sacked? Four times? Mm-hmm. I think he got hit eight. So if we can get pressure on him, anything is possible, man. After what I saw on Sunday, the Bears found a way to win. God, to wake up Monday and have beaten the cheesy bastards up north would be amazing.
You cheesy bastards. Yes, that would be unbelievable. Shay.
Impromptu shot or no shot. If the Bears do pull off a miracle win at Lambeau,
yeah.
Cap is going to actually be a little upset at the amount of crow he's going to have to eat.
No shot. I will happily, happily eat my plate of crow. I hope I'm wrong. Have you not listened? When I made my pick at 5-12, I said, I hope I'm wrong.
Yes.
I'm just trying to give you my honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
When you give us your time to listen and you get in your car or you're sitting at your breakfast nook or you're wherever at the desk, you want what I'm saying to be what I truly believe.
Yes.
That we've never had a meeting where we go, all right, Hoodie, you take this side. I don't really believe it, but I'll take the other side. We don't do that here. It's organic. It's authentic, Shay. Take that.
I've been in meetings like that.
I have too, and I won't do a show like that.
Yeah, not here, but I've been in meetings like that where you take this side, I take that side. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. You are telling people that you want the Bears to win, but you're looking at it from a realistic standpoint based on the roster. That's what you're doing, right?
That's it.
I get it. I totally understand it. Shay.
All right, we talked about Ted Phillips leaving his post as Bears president last week. George McCaskey has said that the Bears will not, quote, anticipate any change in the structure of the organization. And Ted Phillips himself said his biggest advice, quote, get the quarterback right. My question, shot or no shot, the Bears need to hire a football person for their next president.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
You know what? I will say no shot to that, Cap, only in this regard. You know, what do millionaires want more than anything else?
More money.
That's right. What do billionaires want?
More money.
Exactly. You'll have your new stadium. You'll have your added revenue streams around said stadium. So what else is left? You want to be able to add more. It's a new stadium. You never stop trying to bring more money in.
Correct.
And so I'm thinking from the Bears' standpoint, you always have to have somebody in the office that can be able to create more, bring in this partner, bring in this sponsor, bring more to the Bears. Because you want to be able to have that the cost of the team or what the team is worth as high as possible. So if you ever sell it, it'll be as high as possible, right?
Correct.
So I think that's why you want to be able to have someone that understands finance, right? As long as that person's not, as long as that person has nothing to do with the 53-man roster.
So I said this to you last week. The Bears pick their lane that whenever it is that Mrs. McCaskey is no longer in charge, she's the primary shareholder.
Yeah.
They are going to keep the franchise in the family. I read an article from Sportico this morning.
Here with my family.
Wrong family. That George McCaskey in 2016 said, if there's ever a change in the family dynamic, it's staying in the family. We're not, the way they've set the taxes up now, it will not force them to sell the team. They're keeping the team. That's what he's made clear. Now, unless that changes, so you look at the whole way the thing is set up, they're going to hire a business person. The guy they should hire is Jim Phillips, Dr. Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, formerly at Northwestern. He's brilliant. Brilliant. That's the guy I'd hire. They're not hiring Peyton Manning.
Would you prefer a financial person?
Yes.
You prefer a financial person as well?
Because if I owned the team, would I have hired Peyton as my president and then a new GM? Yes, probably.
But you don't own the team. So as a fan, wouldn't you prefer a football person?
No, because they've already given the keys to Ryan Poles. What are you going to do, neuter him now? You hired him. Let him do his job. No, I don't want a football person.
I think it's Poles' job, you know, to be able to succeed or lose in. So I would say probably a financial person. But as long as that financial person does not have say in the roster.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
That's the way it is.
Is there a football equivalent to Theo? Because you wouldn't mind that, would you?
A football equivalent? No, because Theo was very much involved in player decisions.
Right.
I don't want a guy meddling in my player decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're taking the keys away from Ryan Poles.
Right.
Well, then you're starting over again. Hey, Ryan, I know you've started to tinker with the roster here and you're building this thing and you hired your coach. I'm here now and everything goes through me. No.
Yeah, it's Poles' job. He's the guy that's the on the top of the food chain when it comes to trying to develop players, draft, free agency, all that.
Yeah, I want a guy who obviously understands the sport of football.
Right.
Understands empowering his employees, gives you great leadership, brings more revenue in, and then helps shepherd us into the next century of ownership where, guess what? It's not just the Rams that don't have a salary cap. That team in Chicago, man, their revenue streams, they're spending money like crazy.
Yeah.
I want to be like Golden State. You got the cut over there of Joe Lacob. Mm. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want a guy who says, I am obsessed with winning. That's all that matters.
Shay.
All right, I want to go to the other NFC North team we didn't get to yesterday. We talked Packers and Vikings. We didn't get a chance to get to the Lions. If you missed Packers-Vikings, you can get it on the ESPN Chicago app, Shot or No Shot, yesterday. The Lions, though, have been a storyline this offseason with HBO's Hard Knocks to go with a finally healthy offensive line that touts three first-round picks in Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow, and Penei Sewell. They lost the opener to Philly, but were once again highly competitive in the fourth quarter, rallying back from a 38-21 deficit to a 38-35 final, nearly with a shot to get the ball back on a fourth and one that the Eagles converted. My question, shot or no shot, despite the loss to Philly, the Lions look like a potential wild card team.
That's a no shot. I got to see more than just a game.
Yeah, until they prove it, I mean, that's a more abundant franchise as there is, and I'm rooting for them. I like Dan Campbell. I'm a big Dan Campbell guy. And then as I talked to Lance and Alex and Coach Wanstead, they all know the dude. They said players adore playing for him and the staff. The staff is a bunch of former players. Who's the guy? He got a head coaching interview, but he didn't get a job. Is it Deuce Staley?
Yep. Yes.
Deuce, they said players love playing for that guy. They play hard for that staff. So, yeah, I'm rooting for the Lions. I hope they have a really good year, except when they play us. But I can't tell you they're a wild card team yet. They're the freaking Lions.
Yeah, it's going to take some time for me to be there with the Detroit Lions. Maybe after a head coaching change, maybe I'll feel differently. Shay.
All right, there's a new sandwich debut.
No, wait, hold on a second. What do you mean? It's my opinion about the Lions. It's my opinion about Dan Campbell. I think that as a position coach, his demeanor is great. Bedside manner is poor as a head coach. Nobody wants a clown as a head coach. They need a leader. Shay.
All right, there's a new sandwich debuting at the Texas State Fair called the Fat Elvis. Yeah. The sandwich is a hot biscuit with peanut butter and jelly mix, toasted marshmallow fluff, thick-cut bacon, and fried plantains. Shot or no shot, you would eat this.
Sign me the hell up. Put soda on pause for a day. Yeah, I would try that.
That's a shot. I'm just confused, JR, about the marshmallow fluff. Why do I need that? The rest of it sounds good.
So good.
The construction's so interesting, right? You've got the peanut butter that sticks to stuff. You've got the marshmallow that sticks to stuff. You've got the jelly that sticks to stuff. Something's not sticking here. Right? Am I wrong on this?
I don't know why I need the marshmallow. All that, the fried plantain,
So when I was
unbelievable.
So when I was back in my basketball days,
yeah.
Before every game, my girlfriend would make me a sandwich of jelly, blueberry jelly, or cherry, one of the two, grape occasionally, but usually blueberry or cherry, with peanut butter and marshmallow fluff.
How is Secretary able to use the knife to spread the peanut butter?
She held it in her mouth.
Oh, Secretary held it in her mouth. Yeah. Moving it around?
Correct.
Was it spread evenly? Was
yes.
It spread nicely?
There was a few too many chunks at times. But
I don't think that was peanut butter, those chunks.
Oh, boy. No, but that's what I would eat before every game.
Uh-huh.
Haven't had that sandwich in 25 years.
Hey!
But it was delicious.
And that shot or no shot on Tuesday edition. We'll hear from Albert Breer coming up at 8:30. But coming up next, so many storylines around the NFL for week number one. Cap and I will talk to you about it next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really
thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Along with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. That same ESPN Chicago app where you can find the odds couple with Mike North and Carmen DeFalco. You need the best trends for sports? Check out the odds couple available now on the ESPN Chicago app. Boy, week one, Cap, was amazing. Nothing like the quote-unquote king of sports, the NFL, to give you some fantastic finishes, especially the witching hour. That, like, 2:45 to, like, 3:30 section of the 12 o'clock games was really impressive.
So we're sitting there, we're watching the Bears game, and we're getting ready, and we're going to get into the studio, and they have the monitor in there. We're like, hang on. Because of where we watch the game, they have two monitors, a big one for us with the Bear game, and then a little smaller one, Red Zone.
Yeah.
And everybody's got fantasy or pools or bets or whatever or Survivor going. Thanks, I'm out of my Survivor League. Thanks a lot, Denver. And we're watching all of this, and there's, whoa, the Colts are going to lose. Oh, they came back. Oh, they missed a field goal to win it. Oh, Mitch is going up against Burrow. Like, all these games, the Lions came roaring back.
Yeah.
There were so many dramatic finishes.
So, Shay Norley, let's go through some of the highlights of week one and some of the ramifications that came out of week one.
Yeah, I want to start with probably the biggest ramification. It's the Buccaneers on the road in Dallas. A low-scoring blowout, 19-3 final. This game never felt remotely close. Dallas offense looked horrible. Dak was compromised, and now bad news for the Cowboys. Dak's hand is hurt. He's going to miss some time.
So I'm thinking that if you're Jerry Jones, you're not sure exactly how long that's going to take. That's 6 to 8 weeks. That's pretty much the season's over, unless you can find another quarterback, Cap.
Well, you got Cam Newton out there. Cooper Rush is already on the roster. Cam wasn't great in New England.
Right.
So then he went back to Carolina. They didn't think enough to bring him back. So do I go sign Cam Newton? Do I trade for some moribund backup? The 49ers are not trading Jimmy Garoppolo at this point in the season. Maybe if they're 1-6, they might. But at that point, Dallas is probably not interested.
I know that there's a lot of hype over the Cowboys, especially on sports television. The Cowboys always in the A block, the lead, more times than not because of how polarizing it is. But it's amazing. You're sitting in there, and you want to see the Cowboys beat the Buccaneers, and you see your quarterback go down, and you realize, huh, season's over. It's just that fleeting, Cap. That's why offense matters in this league. If you don't have the quarterback that you can trust who's healthy, it looks like that.
Correct. You need a guy who at least values ball security, can make a few plays. If you turn the football over, it's done, because there is no doubt, much as I love Mitchell Trubisky, there's no doubt Joe Burrow's at a different level, except he got picked off four times and fumbled once.
Shay, for as much money they gave Ezekiel Elliott, 10 carries, 52 yards.
That guy's dead. I mean, I know you guys hate when Carmen Yurko bring up pay running backs.
They're laughing right now going, told you.
No, I'm a big believer in never pay a running back. I would look at Saquon Barkley's back now. I would never put that high of a draft investment into the running back position.
He looks amazing.
He does look great, but how long is that going to last? Right. These guys get run into the ground.
So you're not paying David Montgomery then?
No, I wouldn't.
All right, what's next?
Well, I want to just quickly, Hoodie, you mentioned if you're a Dallas fan, you feel like the season's over. Yeah, if you blink, it might be, because you've got the vengeful Bengals next week on Sunday. You're going to roll Cooper Rush out there against Joe Burrow. Have fun. Yeah, your season might be over. Go look at how often 0-2 teams make the playoffs.
You got another choice. You got no other quarterback in the pipeline. This is what you got. All right, what's next?
Well, there's another fan base of a name brand out there that thinks the season might be over. The Patriots went down to Miami, and that offense looked dead. Mac Jones now has back spasms, the quarterback. Hoodie, that's a team that's in trouble.
Well, Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots, Cap, says that, you know, Mac Jones says that the ailing back, he says, the test came back fine. Okay, so I don't know what that means. What I would say is, more so than the test, it just looked flat. I mean, I saw a lot of this, the highlights, and then watching Red Zone. Patriots just look flat, and it all started from the beginning. Who's the offensive coordinator? Who's the defensive coordinator? Do you have enough skill position players to make a difference for the Patriots? What do we always ask? Brady or Belichick? Who's going to be able to win a championship first? Who's going to be able to last longer? Brady's in the lead right now.
No question. Look, Bill's a great coach. If he never wins another game, he's a great, great coach.
Yeah.
You got to have talent. You never see the jockey carry the horse across the finish line. That's just a fact.
So for the Patriots, it's Mitch and the Steelers.
Thank you, Secretary.
At Pittsburgh, and then the Ravens, and then the Packers for the Patriots.
Steelers got some good news, by the way. Najee Harris is back. It's going to make things harder for the Patriots.
Whoa. I thought he has a high ankle sprain.
No, they said everything came back good. He's got a very good chance to play on Sunday.
We'll see.
That was late yesterday.
Fastest healing high ankle sprain I've ever seen.
Correct. Yeah, and listen, man. Who knows what's involved there? There was a great tweet during the Patriots game.
Hold on. I got a question for you. If you were a star running back, yes. I mean star.
Yeah.
And it was, you're playing late in the season, the game's really pivotal.
Yeah.
And you had a bad ankle sprain, and I came up to you and said, I've got some potion here I can put on your ankle. You'll be able to go on Sunday, but it'll shorten your life by a year. Would you take it?
No, I'm good. Nope.
1 year.
Yeah, I'm good. Nope.
What if you lived in 94? So you lived in 93. Big freaking deal.
It's the same, right? That's why I don't. No, I'd be good.
Shay?
No.
Would you take the potion?
I would not take the potion. I would not. Miss a game?
No, I'd probably take it.
Yeah. It's a playoff game. You're going to miss it.
Probably.
Probably miss it.
I don't know. If I'm a running back, I don't have that big of an impact on whether the team wins or not.
You
anyway.
Are the guy.
Well, yeah, I'd take it.
If I'm the guy, I'm not in the playoffs. I'm a running back, after all. Are you asking this question 1984? Or
no,
are you asking
I'm asking
now?
You. You're the key guy. You're Derrick Henry on the Titans. Or you're a quarterback.
Well, he took the potion. He had a steel foot built for him, and he came back and lost him the game.
All right, Shay, what's next?
Quickly, there was a great tweet about the Patriots. I just want to highlight how bad that offense might be. Mac Jones had the interception, and on the sideline, they had Brian Hoyer get in his ear. Then Joe Judge walks over and gets in his ear with Brian Hoyer. And then finally, Matt Patricia joins this clown car and comes over and gets in Mac Jones' ear. So a lot of collaboration on that offense, all of 7 points.
Yes.
For as many people as they wanted to write off the Chiefs, you've lost all your offensive weapons. Tyreek Hill's gone. Travis Kelce's going to get bracket coverage. Your receiving room kind of a lot of question marks. Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 39, 5 touchdowns, yeah. Blows out the Cardinals on the road.
Ooh, I mean, it wasn't even close, my friend. It was 14-0 after the first quarter. Kansas City with the lead against Arizona. My God, Kansas City, as long as you have a healthy Patrick Mahomes, you still have Juju Smith-Schuster, you have Travis Kelce, you have plenty of guys you can still go to.
Juju Smith David Schuster is a very solid, if unspectacular, player. But you've got plenty of talent.
Yeah. So, I mean, 44. You put 44 up on the road. Oh. I mean, hey, it's still Patrick Mahomes. As long as his heart's beating, you got a chance.
That dude is a beast.
How about that, Shay? What does that say for Arizona, too? What do we pick them as, third or last in the division?
I believe I had them in third.
Third place? Yeah.
I'll check the sheets.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Arizona guy. I'm not a huge Cliff Kingsbury guy.
Not a big hyphenated guy either, Hoodie.
Yeah.
Add that to the list.
Of course.
John Hamm, John Gruden, trailblazer on John Gruden. Everyone else is bowing at the altar. I told you he was a jackass.
Yeah, John Gruden, John Hamm.
Hold on a second. Who was bowing at the altar? I thought when he signed that ridiculous 10-year deal to come out of retirement, everybody was like, what the hell are they doing?
A lot of people love John Gruden. He's the greatest. What a good guy. So entertaining. He's a clown.
John Hamm, John Gruden, John Hood. Didn't like any of them. And that's our look around the National Football
Rodney
League.
Nick Foles sucks. Let's just be fair and honest here.
Right here on ESPN 1000.
I don't use that word anymore.
We will hear.
To describe pro athletes.
Yeah.
I don't say that.
So once I do catch you do it, and you will do it, $100.
To Bernie's book.
Yeah. $100.
Done.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be done. By the end of the week?
Yeah. $100.
Done.
We will hear from Albert Breer, who
Please
covers the National Football League for Monday Morning Quarterback. That's next. You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Every Tuesday at 8:30, we talk to our guy Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback, the senior NFL reporter, joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000 as we go around the National Football League. Albert, good morning.
Good morning. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
You know how we're doing. We're just in the afterglow. Pass me a cigarette. Of the Bears defeating San Francisco. So on both sides, your thoughts on the Bears and their come-from-behind victory, and also, was that safe for the 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had a great plan defensively. And, you know, really, having talked to a couple of the guys over there, you know, it was really the idea was to focus on, you know, just killing their run game early, on early downs, on first and second down, and then making Trey Lance play quarterback on third down. And obviously, I mean, look, the conditions, it's been a while, I think, since I've seen a game with conditions like that. So the conditions help. You know, but I think that you got a good confidence builder there for the defense and for some of the young guys on defense. I mean, I think the fact that Jaquan Brisker, who we've all been talking about for the last 3 or 4 months, shows up, that's huge. You know, that some of the young players are showing up that way. And then, you know, offensively, I mean, as you guys know, I've been watching Justin Fields for some time now. And, you know, it wasn't perfect. But I think you start to see some of the things showing up with Fields now that you saw in college. And I'm talking about some of like the character things. And, you know, it doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar quarterback. Still has a long way to go and still needs to develop a lot. But, you know, just as far as like some of the traits that, you know, made Justin Fields more than just a great athlete with great tools coming out of Ohio State, I think you saw those show up in adverse conditions at Soldier Field.
So I was reading a number of, obviously, all the Chicago media, but I went and read all the San Francisco media, and Nick Bosa is just incredulous that they lost that game. Can't believe that they self-destructed like they did. They are basically saying that what Dennis Green said. They are who we thought they were. We just made stupid mistakes, or otherwise we win that game easily. What does that say about the San Francisco 49ers that they had 12 penalties, that they let the Bears off the hook twice on third downs where they got stops and it led to two touchdowns? What was your takeaway on the Niners?
You know, Cap, I sort of wonder if, like, there was a feeling there, and this can be a psychological thing with football teams, right? Like, where, you know, they look at it and they've got a quarterback making his first start, and he's been very up and down. And they've been, you know, that situation has been in the news for the last couple of weeks since they did the restructure with Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, you wonder if it's like a team that's super duper talented, right, that came into that game that felt like they weren't playing with much margin for error because of the conditions added to the fact that they were going in with a quarterback making his first start who may be limited this year to begin with. You know, and so I wonder if that's part of it, you know, like the Niners really kind of psychologically, as talented as they are, went in feeling like they needed to be perfect or they needed to be playmakers. And, you know, you see some of the mistakes of aggression, you see some of the dumb stuff that happened. And, you know, you sort of wonder if psychologically, like maybe the team is playing a little bit outside of itself right now. To try to support a young quarterback. It'll be really interesting to see what happens this coming week. They're playing a Seattle team that is going to be coming off of a short week. You know, it has Geno Smith, the quarterback, has some confidence now after winning last night. It's going to be really, really interesting to see if that Niners team can reel it back in and support Jimmy and support Trey Lance the way that, you know, I think you know, everybody intended to, which is by playing good, sound football, not trying to do too much.
Albert, what are you hearing out of Green Bay? Because I know that before the season, there was talk that maybe Aaron Rodgers wants a little bit more, wants to have a few more weapons. And, of course, the Green Bay Packers lose 23-7 to Minnesota. So what are you hearing from Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay as far as whether or not they could have sustained success throughout the season?
Yeah, Eddie, I think it's early. I mean, I'd be really careful about pushing the panic button there. I mean, you know, like, look, like they're relying on a couple of rookies at receiver who are really talented, Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, who they think can be really good players. But this came up during camp, too. You know, there were, like, lapses, which you get with rookies sometimes. And I think this is sort of part of the price you pay for putting rookies out there. And you hope that if you're paying this price week one, week two, week three, that come week 10, week 11, week 12, those guys are playing more like veterans, and maybe you're more talented at that position because you went through some of the bumps early in the year. And so I think that's where the Packers are right now. I think the other thing you have to remember, too, I mean, they're down a couple of really freaking good linemen, you know, and like David Bakhtiari and Elgin Jenkins might be two of the top 10 linemen in all football at any position. And so, like, I think that's a part of it also, you know, is – When you've got that issue, you know, on the offensive line, that you know, especially when you're playing against a team that brings Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith off the edges, I think that some of the problems there might have been a little bit predictable. Where I think the bigger questions are right now is how come the defense couldn't handle Justin Jefferson, you know, and why was it that you knew what was coming and you knew where they were going with the ball, and you still couldn't stop it. I said this to you guys, I think, in the summer. They have 7 first-round picks starting on defense. I mean, it is talented. It is balanced. I know they felt like coming out of camp, like they might have the best defense in football. And I would be, if I'm them, probably more concerned with the defense right now, the way the defense played on Sunday, than the offense. Because I think the offense, you can at least explain some of the problems.
Let's also talk about Aaron Rodgers and his, like, he looked angry to me. Does that help him this week? It's not like it's Devontae Adams and some other veteran players there. When he plays with that anger, is that a good thing for young receivers?
I mean, I don't know. I was around it for 20 years with Tom Brady. I saw it, you know, and I think quarterbacks like that walk a tightrope with it, to be honest with you, Cap. Like, I just think, you know, different guys respond to different things. And, you know, some guys will respond to that really well, you know. And I think for Aaron, I actually talked to him about this over the summer. It's really interesting. Like, you know, he has an understanding that different guys need different types of motivation and that he has to handle every guy as sort of his own entity, you know, and like that, you know, Romeo Doubs might react differently to something than Sammy Watkins does. Sammy Watkins might react differently to something than Christian Watson does. Christian Watson might react differently to something than Randall Cobb does. And so, you know, I think that's part of it. You know, I also think, you know, like one of the things that you want to watch with young receivers with an older quarterback like that is how much rope is the quarterback giving the young receiver before he starts to not look in his direction. And, you know, I know that was one of the few flaws with Brady over the years was he tended to shut people out really quickly, right? Like, he demanded that you be where you're supposed to be when the ball is going there and that you catch the ball when it gets there. And it sounds simple, but if you couldn't do those things, then he would tune you out. He would kind of take you out of the play relatively quickly, and that made the Patriots easier to defend at times. I'll be interested to see how that process works with Rodgers and guys like Doubs and Watson.
Albert, lastly, this came across just moments ago. Jerry Jones on his radio show, 105.3, The Fan, says that they will not put Dak Prescott, their quarterback, on injured reserve. He says that Dak has a real chance to be back out there throwing the ball pretty quickly. So this means there will not be an acquisition or a trade to get a quarterback in the interim?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I think so. And look, like, I think one of the things you have to remember with the Cowboys, I covered that team. Things are always evolving with them, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I do think that there's that element of, like, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. If this winds up being a 3-week injury, then, yeah, you could tread water. If this winds up being a 5-week injury and you lose a couple games in a row, you know, do you start at least kicking tires on throwing a 6th or 7th round pick maybe out there for Mason Rudolph or somebody like that? I can remember in 2015 when Brandon Whedon came in for Tony Romo, and the whole thing was like, well, you know, we have the utmost confidence in Brandon Whedon, and Brandon Whedon's going to be a quarterback for the rest of the year. And lo and behold, like a month later, Matt Castle's a quarterback, you know. So those things are always evolving. But I think this is a short enough window now where, you know, you probably look at it and you say, how long would it take us to get a guy really up and running anyway? You know what I mean? Like, how long would it take us to kind of get a guy playing the way he needs to play at that position? And, you know, if you're talking about, like, bringing in a guy next week, and then, like, it takes him 3 weeks to really kind of get to the point where he can run the offense efficiently, well, now you're bumping up against the time when Dak's going to be back anyway. So I think the window is probably short enough where they don't bring somebody in, but I would never rule anything out with them.
Albert, thank you. Have a great rest of your day, man. We appreciate you greatly.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Albert Breer with us every Tuesday at 8:30 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, giving us the latest around the National Football League. A Mitch Trubisky update. That's next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's Home for Sports. This is the Cap and J. Hood Mitch update.
All right, here we go. Take your shots. I was in Mitchell Trubisky's corner, but here's the truth. He had the job. All he had to do was play better.
Time for the Mitch Trubisky update.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Right here on ESPN 1000.
Mitchell Trubisky.
And the ESPN Chicago app. All right, Mitch.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Let's talk about your guy, Mitch. What do you think? 23-20 overtime win for Pittsburgh. What do you think?
So when he...
Let's bitch on Twitch about Mitch.
When he had to make a play.
ESPN Chicago.
Mm-hmm. They get the football back in overtime after both teams missed field goals.
Yep.
Mitch takes him from their own 20, drives him down, big throw to Freiermuth, the tight end.
Yep.
And I think he hit Claypool for a big gain. And the next thing you know, all right, here we go, 53 yards. He'd already hit the upright from 55. Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And they steal one. Because they picked off 4 Burrow passes. Minka Fitzpatrick was insane. 14 tackles, a pick six, I think a forced fumble. I mean, amazing. And they get out of town with a victory. Burrow, as I said, 4 picks and a fumble that he lost. And before the game, Tomlin gave the entire Steelers traveling party black Air Forces, the Nike shoe.
The Air Force Ones, yeah.
Yeah. Well, apparently he had called his contact at Nike. Guy goes, I don't have 146 pairs of shoes. Mm-hmm. We're out. So he got this guy, his name is Cody, who's an artist.
Yeah.
And he got him Nike shoes and had him spend the weekend painting them. He spray painted them all black. Yes. LeBron James tweeted, Coach Tomlin, hilarious for that, because they said it gives a person wearing them a menacing look.
That's correct. That is correct, Cap.
Yeah.
So, and it was good enough for the Steelers to win that game against the Bengals. Shay, I would say probably one of the most exciting games of week 1, for sure.
It was awesome.
It was, and part of it, and we will get to a little later when we get into a Tuesday edition of Worst Weekends.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on with NFL kickers this weekend?
Yeah.
I mean, holy smokes.
Like, I get it here.
55 yards away. Boswell, no good!
That audio, yes! By the way, you could hear a pin drop while that kick was in the air, the doink, and then the crowd erupts. That is incredible audio.
Man, well, coming up in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the Bears. Finding out your thoughts about the Bears and their victory against San Francisco. I know we're all still in the afterglow of the victory, but
Does it give you more optimism? Cap and I will talk about that, hear from Eberflus and Roquan Smith and more right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.